How many of us wake up every morning excited to hear the voice of Jesus? Raise your hand. Okay, not everyone. I wish it was everyone. I wish that we would all just be, you know, so excited about hearing that still small voice, listening to what the Father has to say, because his sheep hear his voice and they do what? They follow him. And if we call ourselves followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, students of Jesus, how could we be a student of a class that we do not attend? Might as well drop it. Right? And so as we look at this text, we have to confront one thing. That we are unfaithful people. To do the little things. One time I was discipling some men. And they had just gotten saved and they were, you know, just so excited to follow Jesus. They were meeting at my house and, you know, all I asked was like, hey, can you guys do me a favor? I just want to know what God's speaking to you. So in the morning, like when you wake up or at night, when you open up your Bible, you know, can you just send me a text and share with me what God spoke to you? Whether it's the verse that you read or maybe a reflection. I want to know, like, how is God's, I'm so excited that God is speaking to you, that God has made a way to just communicate with you, that they would have a living dialogue with each other between you and the Lord. I'm excited for that. And the next day came, I got no text messages. I'm like, did I pay my bill? Like, what happened? Like, did they have the wrong number? Like, what's going on? Why? What stops us? Look, I'm going to be completely honest with you. It's not fun waking up at 5 in the morning. It's not. Like, who does that? Right? Who sets, like, I purposely set my alarm clock to 4:55. Like, that's when all the bad stuff, that's when I normally got home, you know? And here I am setting an alarm to wake me up to do something that I have no clue what it's going to look like. I don't know what I'm going to read. Like, I read chapter 37 today. I'm going to read chapter 38 tomorrow, okay? So I know that much, but I don't know what God has in store for me. And so when 4:55 shows up and I'm like, oh man, are you kidding me? Like, and on two, like, think about it, like, I've been here since 8 a.m. I'm not going to leave here till about 10, 9:30 maybe. 13, 14 hours. Guess what? After I unwind and stop thinking about all the mistakes I made, over the radio, I might go to bed like at 11:30, right? And then my alarm's still going to go off at 4:55. And guess what? It's going to be hard to wake up my body and go and get my cup, fill it up with water, pour it in the Keurig, because who's got time for, you know, the AeroPress thing, you know, like, nobody's got time, not at 4:55, okay? So I'll Keurig it up, all right, cool, there's my sugar, awesome, there I go, I get my markers that I always bag people about, like, you know, I get my pen and my highlighters, all different colored highlighters, and I'm just like, okay, I put it all on the table, awesome, and I'm looking at it, and then my coffee's ready, and then bam, it's time to go in. I get my AirPods on, I throw on the worship music, and all right, now we're setting the mood. I read it once, now I'm going to read it again. Okay, what is God trying to tell me? What is God speaking about? What am I learning from the life of David? I haven't even gotten to the text yet. But this is what it looks like for me to follow Jesus, okay? And in order for me to follow someone, I gotta trust them. And you only trust people that you have a conversation with, right? If I meet some total stranger, and I'm like, hey, here, hold my wallet. How can I trust a stranger with my finances if I don't know him? How can I trust the Lord with my finances if I don't know him? And so I begin to have this living dialogue, this living conversation where I welcome the Lord to speak, to say the hard things, to speak to me the only way he knows how. And then I enter into this text. Whatever I speak to you, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And some of you, you guys might not be morning people, okay? So I get it. But you could be a night person and this still applies to you, right? If you're in the dark, hey, in the morning, guess what? Go tell it. Speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. I'm here to tell you that I believe that Jesus is so pumped up to speak to you. I'm here to tell you that he's even cluing us in to what he wants from this living conversation between us and him. He's like, look, the reason why I'm going to speak to you, the reason why I went to the cross to make a way for this conversation to exist is so that whatever I tell you in secret, you could preach from the housetops. What does that mean? What you take in, I need you to communicate and see it lived out. I need you to tell people. I need you to reach out to somebody. Hey, you know what? I know you right now, like it's hard to buy groceries. I know, like, we could check this out. God, David said, like, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Nor have I seen God's children begging for bread. And he knows what you need before you even ask him, before you even begin to make your plea that there's only $40 in your account. He already knows. And see, we begin to establish this trust through communication. Just confirming what he already knows. He knows our need. He knows our need before we even ask. And so, if he's pumped up to speak to us, what is he going to speak to? The things that he wants us to declare. And sometimes the things that he wants us to declare are things just for ourselves. He just wants us to publicly confess them. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Say it from the rooftops. Tell people that your all sufficiency is found in Jesus. That you need no one else because he's your shepherd and because you're following him. You found your sufficiency. You found that thing that fills the void. You found that guy. You found that God. There's no other God beside him, right? And so we will declare the praises of him who transfers us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his son. We'll do it from the rooftops. However, one thing we confessed before we even got into this is the fact that sometimes we're not faithful to have this conversation. Sometimes I wish he would send me a text like, hey, bro, you left me hanging. I bought you a coffee. It was an Americano with four shots. Hey, I could have got you, you know, that oat milk latte that you love. But I didn't know if you were going to show up. Imagine if Jesus responded, like, we left him at scene. Imagine. Whatever I tell you in the dark, whatever I communicate to you, whatever I speak into your life, I need you to do something with that. That's what God is telling his church. Whatever I whisper in secret and in the quiet place, I need you to preach from the rooftop. Notice how he doesn't say like, hey, so if you get up, then maybe we'll have this conversation. Or I know I sent you a calendar invite, but I know you haven't responded to it yet. So once you get a chance to respond to it, then we can have this conversation. Jesus isn't like looking at this as an optional thing. He's saying, look, I'm going to speak to you. And whatever I speak to you, I need you to tell people about. This isn't like, oh, if you get a chance to, if you set the alarm, or, you know, Pastor Joey Brand, who's like my spiritual dad. He's my spiritual dad. He once told me something that cut to the heart. And it wasn't a Bible verse, because he did that every week. He said, you make time for what you want to do. You make time for what you want to do. Look, I haven't been faithful at this for my entire walk with Jesus. There's been times where when I get around to it was my walk with the Lord. But God, you know, like, and I would come like, oh, Lord, but I study, like, for the preaching and stuff. Like, you know how many hours, like, I put into my sermon prep? You know how many, like, Spurgeon, like, how many A.W. Tozer, how much all this, how much stuff I'm taking in? Don't you understand? Like, I know you. Oh, you know me? Or do you just know about me from what somebody else received from me? Oh, are you just regurgitating what I did in somebody else's life hundreds of years ago? Oh, that's where you're going to settle? You're going to settle for regurgitated fruit? Really? Here, let me just use that as compost. Let me just use that as manure. Because that ain't gonna fly, pastor. That's how the conversation went. That's scary, huh? That's scary. Like, that's not fun. That's not fun. And there came a time where I realized that my devotions are more fruitful than my sermons. My devotions speak to more people than my sermons. So see here right now, there's about 150, 200 people, whatever. Maybe I'm exaggerating. But don't count. Don't look at you guys counting. Okay? So, okay, once a week, 100, 150 people. Or in my devotions that I have, that I begin to share with others every single day. Next thing you know, I'm sharing with 20, 30, 40, 50 people a day about what Jesus spoke to me, because he told me to proclaim what I heard in the secret place. By day three, I've already been more fruitful with my devotions than with my sermon. It's math. How much more? This is why, like, the whole title thing and I get to preach and all this stuff, dude, that can go away like this. But my devotion to Jesus, that's forever. That's forever, man. And so are we building a forever relationship, a forever living conversation, living dialogue with the Lord? And for you pastors who might be listening, who are probably critiquing my sermonating right now, are you replacing your devotions with study time? Stuff that you get paid to do. Let that cut deep. Whatever I speak to you, whatever I say, Jesus says, whatever I speak to you in private or in the dark place, speak into the light. Preach on the rooftops. Those two words, charisso and apon, okay? Those are the two words that he's using in the Greek. Guess what tents they're in? Not a tent, tents. In the Greek, it's called the aorist imperative. That means it's a non-negotiable. Jesus isn't looking at this as, oh, when you get a chance to do it, I need you to preach and get on the rooftop and tell people. I need this to happen. I need you to make time. I need you when you're at the gas station to share with somebody. Just to tell them that God loves them. Just to tell them that, you know, David, King David, he would have, like, there was a chance for him to be like, oh man, God's people suffer so much. He couldn't do it. Because he had never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's people begging for bread. And so, I understand. Some of you think you're not preachers, but you're probably the best preacher. Look, what is going on today? You're probably the best preacher that's ever lived. You just don't know it because you've never done it. Yes, you, girl. Yes. Yeah, you too. Guess what? You're a disciple of Jesus. This doesn't exempt you from preaching the gospel. And sometimes we get scared of preaching the gospel. Sometimes we get scared to share a Bible verse with somebody. Maybe because we think they're not going to receive it. Jesus isn't telling us about the result. He's asking us to do the work. He'll take care of the results. Right? It's his harvest. Right? One sows, one reaps. But it's God who gives the increase. All he's asking us to do is to participate. That's all he's asking. And so, my question to you is, if Jesus is asking his church to do something and the church doesn't do it, is the church in sin? God asks us, hey, don't sleep around. Don't sleep with your girlfriend. And we don't do it. And we abstain from sin. When we do it, we're in sin, correct? Okay, now when he asks us to preach with that same logic, when he asks us to preach and we don't do it, are we in sin? Are we in sin? Okay, so what's happening? What's happening? We have to realize, church, that we can sin practically or we can sin passively. And what I mean by passively is by not doing anything. Isn't that crazy? That we can sin by doing stuff that's against the Lord's will, and we can sin by not doing stuff because God wants us to do something? Isn't that crazy? That us not being the church is disobedience to the Lord? Like, God is speaking to us, and he's like, man, I want to speak to you. I want to love. I want to share with you. Here, open up your Bible. This is how I speak to people. It pierces through bone and marrow, through soul and spirit. It's, guess what? It knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And God wants to change your evil little heart into something that beats for his glory. Something that we can't do in and of ourselves. And so if God desires to transform us, how do we expect that to happen without there being a conversation? Like, you just don't show up to the doctor and the doctor just starts, puts a scalpel in and just starts taking stuff out. You start confessing stuff. Hey, these are my symptoms, Lord. I haven't been trusting you in these areas. I haven't been talking to you in these areas. I have these fears about preaching from the rooftops. I have these anxieties of what's going on in my life. I feel like I'm surrounded. And sometimes we feel surrounded. And sometimes we feel like the enemy is all around. But if we believe, like, check this out. If we believe that God is an omnipresent God, don't we say that a lot? Like, he's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He's, dude, stronger than ever. And if he created a rock that he couldn't lift, he'd lift it anyways. Kind of weird. But we always say God's omnipresent. He's everywhere. If he's really everywhere, are we doing stuff or not doing stuff with the knowledge that he's watching us? With the knowledge that he's there? And so for those of you who might say to yourself, I am surrounded. The fruit of my sin has encompassed me. Has surrounded my life. You must also balance that truth with the fact that Jesus loves you and he is there. See, a lot of us will just quit. The sin is too heavy for me. I feel surrounded. I only feel like there's enemies. Jesus is like, oh, it's coming through. Here, I'm going to make a table in the presence of your enemies. Coming through. See, we think we're surrounded, but we're surrounded by him. And if we stay in the defeated state, we won't tap into the victory that he wants to give us. And so we have to realize that when he speaks to us, he's speaking in a personal way. In a way that's so intricate and unique. In a way that he doesn't speak to. Because see, we're all different. And he doesn't speak to me the way he speaks to my daughter. But when my daughter woke up that day at 6 o'clock and found me just in the zone, if you will, with the Lord, I'm just like taking it in. I found a new song. And I'm just like, it's on repeat. And I'm reading this psalm over and over and over and over again. And she comes at me and she's like, oh, it's Bible time. And she goes and gets her Bible and she brings it to the table and she opens it up and she's like, Dad, can I get a highlighter? Here you go, baby girl. You highlight some stuff. What? You want me to write on my Bible? Yes. What stands out to you, baby girl? What stands out? What is God speaking to you? Are we realizing? What? Just because she's 8? A lot of the times we're scared of what following Jesus is like. And you know how I said about the aorist imperative and how it's not negotiable to preach and to speak. You know what else is non-negotiable? to fear. You know how Jesus like balances that? He says, do not fear. Do not fear what man can do to you. Do not fear the humanity that surrounded you. Do not fear men or their response to God's word. Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The language that Jesus is using here is very interesting. And we, his disciples, his followers, should never fear the outcome of godly obedience. We should never fear the outcome of obeying God and taking him for his word. What, you think he's just going to bounce on you? Oh, you listened to me? Oh, you actually applied? Oh, you took my word literally? Oh, you're actually trusting and obeying? You think he's going to leave you and forsake you? Come on, church. We got to do a better job at this. In this text, we are seeing that disobedience and abstaining from sin is the same as disobedience and abstaining from what he is calling us to do. And if sin is disobeying the Lord, we can be practically in sin as well as passively in sin. And here's the issue. The reason why we're okay with being passively in sin or not doing something that God has called us to do is because you can't tell. You can't tell. You can't tell if you've, you know, my man right here. I can't tell if he shared his devotion with somebody. I could ask him about his jeans and why they're ripped. Maybe he was getting up on the rooftop to go share the gospel with somebody. Right? Oh, is that why your pants are ripped? Is that why you're all dirty? Because you're trying to get to the rooftop to share? Awesome. You can't tell. And that's why we're okay with it. Because it doesn't affect our reputation. And that's so selfish of us to think that way. That because it doesn't affect how we look, it doesn't affect our relationship with the Lord. But I'm here to tell you that the reason why this country is so depressed, the reason why our friends are overdosing, the reason why there's so many mass murderers, the reason why there's so many people taking their own lives and on drugs, on antidepressants, going to the doctors, all of that stuff is because guess what? I'm gonna put it on you. Because maybe we're not sharing from the rooftops how important and how valuable people really are. If they don't have the joy of the Lord and the Lord comforts the depressed, why isn't anybody telling them? If somebody's wrestling with their identity, why don't we go to the scriptures? Why don't we open up to Revelation and look at the church of Pergamos? And look at how they were compromising in sexual immorality and eating food sacrificed to idols. Remember that, church? Okay? And what does God present to them? He says, hey, I know like you're tempted with eating all of this food sacrificed to idols, but I have something better for you. So let's have this conversation and I'm going to give you something that's hidden, the hidden manna. And I know you have an identity. I know you're promiscuous. I know people, women, you're called this. Men, you're called that. But here, I'm going to give you a new stone, a white stone with a new name and a new identity. So your past is forgotten and you can cling to what is new. See, Jesus has the same heart for his church that he does for the unsaved. That's deep. Jesus wants to seal the saved and save the lost. And so we got to realize like we have an active job in this. Jesus is like, remember, he doesn't work. He works through us, not independent of us. And so if we're going to be disciples of Jesus and call ourselves Christians, are we actively participating in this command to tell people, to preach it, male or female, I don't care. What if you knew that if you shared a Bible verse with somebody, it would be the only positive thing that they ever heard in one day? If in 24 hours, all they heard was they were worthless. They heard that they didn't, their life didn't matter. That they should get a divorce. That they should just go and kill themselves. It's sad that this youth, that phrase has become a joke. Just go kill yourself. I can't believe that that rhetoric is so alive and well in the next generation. How are we okay with someone taking their own life? How are we permissive of that? Church, I'm trying to tell you that people's lives are in the balances. They are in the valley of decision. And one verse could turn them around. One promise could turn a situation around. I've seen it. I've walked with people who are like, hey, we're getting a divorce because he cheated on me. Hey, I know you're hurt, girl, but don't give up. What? Don't you understand what he did? I can't trust this person anymore. Girl, please, look, God has a plan for your life. I wouldn't be telling you this. You think it's easy for me to tell you this? And next thing you know, on the day that they were going to finalize their divorce, they're regurgitating their vows for the glory of God. Restating it, retelling it. Let's do it again. Let's grab arm in arm. Let's go. Why? Because they trusted the promises of God. Someone told them that God had a plan. And see, what happens if that person wasn't there? What happens if no one shared, if no one got on the roof and shared the gospel with people? What happens if we disobey this church? What happens? We're going to continue to see the pattern that this nation is on. And so we, as the church, the most loved people, that people would, that know what love is about, people that are forgiven because they've experienced it. They know what the blood of Jesus does. We should be the ones proclaiming that to a guilty party. We should be the ones sharing that forgiveness, extending that olive tree, being the peacemakers, humbling ourselves before prideful people and giving them a solution for their sinful nature. The question is, are we willing to do it? The question, are we willing to step into this plan of salvation for the people that are lost? Are we willing, like, and not only that, but what does it start with? You can only give out what you have received. You can only distribute what you've collected. And so again, look, man, if we're not reading our Bibles, how can we share the story of the gospel when someone is hurting? Are we scared of what the gospel might do? I feel like some of us are scared. Scared of what it might do to our reputation. Scared that we'll be known as a Jesus follower. Scared that we won't have strength to be amongst the wolves. Church, it's up to us. Jesus is going to move. Jesus is going to save. And guess what? He's asked us to participate. So, church, I want to know, like, are you guys down? Like, are you excited about what God is going to do through you? Are you waking up stoked that God is going to speak to you and fill you in a way that's going to affect everyone around you? It's going to affect you. I don't care if you work at a bar. I don't care if you work at a restaurant. I don't care if you work at the bank down the street. I don't care if you're a lawyer, a doctor, a physician, whatever you might be. God wants to use you so powerfully, and he's going to do it through his word. So, how many of us out there know and need to confess that we haven't done so? See, in this text, as we look at it, Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I'll confess before my Father who is in heaven." And normally we'll look at that and be like, oh, that's like a salvational verse, you know. If we deny the fact that Jesus has saved us, then, you know, he's going to deny us. But there's also ways that we don't confess who Jesus is. Not by denying our salvation, but not acting the way a person who has been transformed should act. We can tell people all day long about Jesus, but do our actions parallel that? Does our character parallel that? Does our integrity parallel that? Again, passively, church, our passive nature has muted the church. The fact that we don't care. I'll just be their friend. Can I just be their friend? I don't ever want to share Jesus with, I just want to be their friend. And maybe, like, my friendship, they'll get saved. Church, we got to stop. It's not going to work. Why are churches shutting down? Why is evangelicalism on a decline? You're going to blame politicians? Really? You're going to blame the president because people aren't going to church anymore? Really? You're going to put it on someone else? What are you doing about it? You find a problem with the church and you're not the solution for it? Guess what? Why even mention it? Why even talk about it if you're not going to do something about it? There's so many people right now that hate the church, that find problems with the church. And guess what? They retreat. Are you going to retreat too? It's time for us to step up our game. And it's not like, Okay, let's go to seminary. Let's go to Bible college. It's have a living conversation with the God of the universe. Have this living dialogue with Jesus, the man who saved you, the man who was crucified on the cross for you. Do the hard thing. Wake up in the morning. Stay up late. Be like Jacob. God, I'm not leaving this place until you bless me. I'm not going to depart. I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to keep studying. I'm going to keep listening. God, I'm just going to rest in this moment of silence. Have you guys ever practiced silence? Just one day, sit in a room silently and ask God to speak to you. It'll be the loudest thing you'll ever hear. It's going to be amazing. But guess what? You have to, like, work at it. You know, my kids were a challenge for me. Oh, man, I can't read my Bible. I have an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 3-year-old. You think they're going to let me read my Bible? Get up before they get up. Oh, my job doesn't let me, you know, read my Bible. Guess what? You have a lunch. Go outside. If the birds are able to declare his glory, how much so us? If the birds get up and they're just so excited and they're chirping and they're singing songs, the primavera and the verano, and they're singing all this in Spanish because birds are Spanish. And then, see, you have this thing that's happening before you and you can't even get up and say, God, thank you. We have to be willing to do the hard thing. And sometimes the hard thing is listening to the things that we don't want to hear, like you're messed up. Like you need to repent. You need to confess. Church, I don't know why we have this sanctuary. Sometimes I feel like we don't deserve it. Look around. There could be possible people in here. The potential is huge. 10x. For this room to be filled with people that need a Savior. And yet we're too scared to share the gospel with people. To just invite them. Hey, I don't know how to really explain it to you, but would you like to come? There's this crazy Mexican guy. He'll talk to you. He'll share the gospel with you. He's scared too. He's scary and scared. You know? And so the thing we got to realize is there's great potential for the church, but it's dependent on the church.